days, Lord. You know, over the last 2 weeks, we've been sons of God. And taking the text verses from Romans chapter 8, we've already seen that from verse 14, that the sons of God are spirit-led. You know, they know the Spirit's leading. Last week we looked at the spirit of adoption and really versus the spirit of slavery. And although we didn't do a lot of reading last week from the scriptures, we looked at the historical context of slavery and what it meant to be released as a slave. And adoption was one means that a slave could be free. You know, we've received that spirit of adoption. Well, I want to just continue tonight along that theme of the spirit of adoption, but we're going to look at verse 16. Because in verse 16 it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You know, one issue that a lot of Christians have, I was going to say particularly with new Christians, but not necessarily. Certainly new Christians have a lot of this problem, and I think as you get older, you have the same problem, but in different areas. And that's the problem with assurance. You know, that it was a big thing back in the late 80s when a lot of the travellers came through the mission. You know, there was teaching was done in the church on assurance. You know, we, and those of you that have been in the church a while, you'll know we have the, although we haven't covered it for quite a while now, there are things like the 7 steps to joy and all this is, and one of the subject matters they go through in those series is that of assurance, because we need to know that we're saved. You know, we need to trust God's word above our feelings, above what anybody else says, above the circumstances. We need to trust, and that's basically, we call that faith. That's what faith is, just trusting God. Regardless of what everybody else says, regardless of what our circumstances are, regardless of how we feel, because some Christians wake up in the morning and they might not feel very saved. You know, someone's upset them and perhaps they've said something they shouldn't have said. They don't feel, well, I can't really be saved, you know, because I keep doing all. You know, we've got to trust what God's word says. And then there's, you could look around, you say, well, people aren't always certain, they're not really, don't really have assurance of what their rights and privileges are as children of God. Then others aren't really sure of where they stand regarding God's promises. You know, there's other things, you know, as you can go through the whole of the Christian walk, you can find people who can be shaken in their faith. They're not really certain, they're not really sure. And assurance is a big thing. It may look like everything's going wrong around us, but we need to know that God is still on our side. You know, as we heard the other week, you know, the waves may be beating on the boat, but we've got to know that Jesus is in the boat. We've got to be assured that Jesus is there. It doesn't matter how big the waves get, if we know Jesus is in the boat, you know we're going to come through. You know, even good people may tell us that we're not going to make it by trusting God. Or, you know, they try and put us off when we're trying to make our stand in faith. And we say, well, yeah, we're just believing God to come through this. Or we're believing God to touch us. Or we're believing God. People come by and say, well, we shouldn't really expect that. You know, we've got to know that God is true to his word. And if he said something, that he will honour it. God always honours faith. And that's the essence of this verse here in verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You know, adopted sons may not always, because they've been adopted, because they're not born naturally into a family, they may sometimes feel like they're not part or they don't belong. Now we know that, as we saw last week, an adopted son, it has every right that the natural, every right and privilege that the natural, he's come from another family, because he's been adopted, because he's been legally brought into the family, he's, and we're going to get onto this in a few weeks' time when we look at the next verse, he's an heir in that family. You know, he has every right and privilege. But sometimes they may feel, well, we don't really fit in, we're not naturally born into the family, you know, I've just been brought in and I don't really fit in here, don't really belong. But the truth is, they do. You know, they've got to be assured of that. You know, one thing we've got to know, certainly when it comes to our state before God that we're adopted into Israel, we're not fostered, we are adopted. Now, a fostered son doesn't really belong. He's looked after, he's cared for, but he's not part of the family. He might fit into family life and the way things, but he'll always be just a fostered person, unless he's adopted. If he's adopted, then he's part of the, he really is part of the family. You know, we're not fostered. God doesn't foster us, he adopts us. We are adopted into the family. We spent a lot of time looking at that last week. But the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are his children. You know, the assurance we need, we get from the Holy Spirit. And that's what it says here. Look, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. Or the Spirit himself assures our spirit that we are children of God. We are children of God. I was listening to a sermon many years ago, and I've never forgotten what the man preached. He says, this gospel, he says, is a, and he used this word, a no-so gospel. And that's how it is. You know, we need to know what we believe. We may not be able to prove it. We may not even be able to explain it, put it into words. But we've got to know it. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. That inner witness. You might hear people say, well, you ask me, what, are you saved? And you're going to say, well, yeah, of course I'm saved. Well, how do you know you're saved? I said, well, I just know. They can't explain it. They can't, might not be able to turn up the scriptures and prove it. But they just know, because they've got that witness from the Spirit. And only you know whether you're saved or not. You know. It's a no-so situation. It comes from the Spirit. I've only got three scriptures tonight to turn to. And I want to go to Ephesians chapter 1 just to start with. Now, they're not long readings at all. They're just a couple of verses. In Ephesians 1, we read two verses, verses 13 and 14. It's talking about the Spirit. And it says here, it says, in him, talking about Jesus, talking about, it says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed. So it says, Paul's writing, he said, look, he says, you trusted in Jesus after you heard the word that was preached, the gospel preached. You trusted in him. It's in him you believed. He says, and having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. There he says, having believed in Jesus, he says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now the seal, what this is talking about here was a mark of ownership. A mark, or it's something that provided protection and secrecy. Generally, it took the form of probably a wax seal is what they're talking about, where a piece of hot wax is melted onto a document. It's normally where it came from, and the signet ring of the person, might be the king, it might be some noble, they pressed into the hot wax, and it put a little crest. So they knew who that letter came from, or who that document came from. And that seal proved the authenticity of the document. In other words, it showed where it came from, it showed who sent it, that it originated from that person, and protection and secrecy from what was written inside, so no one unauthorized could break the seal and open it and read what was written. You know, it was secure. I don't think we touched on it last week, but slaves were often branded. I mean, you know, with hot iron, sort of burnt into their skin. They were often, and that was a mark of ownership, that the master of the house would have had his slaves, this is my slave. And they branded them, marked them. You know, we have been sealed, or we have been marked by the Holy Spirit. And it shows that we belong to God. You know, God has put his mark upon us, the seal of the Holy Spirit. You know, we belong to him. And that seal, or that mark, shows that we come under the protection and the care of God. Now, because of Joanna, really, she's into things like King Arthur and all these sort of the Knights of the Round Table. She likes all that, and she's, you know, so anytime anything like that comes on the telly, we generally sit and watch it. And they've recently just finished a series on, I believe it was on Channel 4, on, I think it was called Camelot, something like that. And one of the programs, you know, Arthur went round sort of setting up the standard, his flag in various villages and towns. And he said, this flag shows that they come under the protection of Camelot. They come under the protection of the king. You know, and that seal, the Holy Spirit, shows that we come under the protection of heaven. We come under the protection of God. Now, his mark is upon us. You know, it's worth noting that in the book of Revelation, you'd have all heard of the mark of the beast. And that's that was a mark. That's an indelible mark, a branding, that those who belong to the devil are his. You know, he has them marked. Those who take the mark give their allegiance to the beast. But it also says in Revelation that those who belong to God will receive the mark as well, God's mark. Not the mark of the beast, this is God's mark. You know, God puts his mark upon them. You know, and that's his sign, that they belong to him. His sign of ownership upon them. You know, you see it on, as you go through, on the tribulation saints, those that come to know God through the tribulation. Now, we did that two or three years back. So I'm not going to go into that tonight. But it's just noted that it's a mark that's put upon people, a mark of ownership. And the sealing of the Holy Spirit, not only is our mark a mark of ownership, it's also, what did it say here? It says, it's the guarantee of our inheritance. What's a guarantee? A guarantee is a pledge or an assurance that if you've got an electrical product that you bought from the shop and it comes with, so most of them come with something like a one-year guarantee. If it comes with that one-year guarantee, that is a manufacturer's assurance that if anything goes wrong with that product in that first year, they will repair or replace, unless it's malicious damage to it. if it goes wrong, if it stops functioning the way it was made to function, they give you an assurance that they will repair or replace. That's called their guarantee. You know, and the Holy Spirit is the guarantee, it's our assurance of our inheritance. You know, that's what we need, assurance. And this is what this verse here in Romans is talking about. You know, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, or assures us that we are the children of God. Now just to, I've got a couple more scriptures I want to look at tonight. I'm trying to be quick. But let's just turn to John's Gospel. We're going to look at John's Gospel chapter 1. Because there is an important verse here in John 1 about our sonship. We preach it as a gospel text. We use it as a text to counsel people in assurance. And it's verse 12. And in verse 12 it says this, as many as received him. That's talking about Jesus, because it says in verse 11, those who believe in his name. Then it goes on, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There it says, those who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Now I want to give you a Greek word here. The word here, to become. Because that's what it's talking about, becoming children of God. The word to become is the Greek word, if I get it wrong, I don't know, quite know how to say it, but it's something like genesthai. G-E-N-E-S-T-H-A-I. And it means to become. Now, if you're good at English, and you can, the first five letters of that word, G-E-N-E-S. Genes. We get other words from this word, talking about all to do with becoming. We get the word genes, which is to do with our makeup. We get the word genesis, which means beginnings. We get the word genealogy, or genealogy, I hope. It's all to do with, that's to do with family. And as children of God, yes, we have a new makeup. We have a new DNA. We have heaven's DNA. You know what DNA is? That's part of your makeup. That's your genes. That determines who you are. We have a new beginning. We have a new family. You know, we are given the right to become. You know the word we use? We use this word all the time in church. Perhaps we don't always think of it quite like this. But the Bible says that we are, and we use the term week in, week out, we are born again. In other words, we become brand new. A new life with new makeup, new DNA, a new family, a new beginning, we've got a new father, a new inheritance, and as we remember last week, all ties with the old life are cut. There's nothing in the old life, there's nothing in our old family, we're not allowed to go back to it, because we've got a new family, we start completely fresh. You know, we have the right to become the children of God, God's children. We're adopted into the family, and everything's made new. Now that should cause us to get excited. In the natural, adopted sons, they got the new family, they got the new beginning, they got the new name, they got the new inheritance, but they retained their biological DNA. So even though their father is new, they've still got the makeup inside of their old father. But as sons of God, we've got new DNA. We've got heaven's DNA in us. We're citizens of another, not just another family, but of another kingdom, another world. You know, if the sons of God, all is made new. And that's the other gospel verse, you know, we quote in Corinthians. You know, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now that's John writing his the gospel. I just want to turn up just to finish with his letter. His letter to the church, 1 John chapter 3. You know, in the gospel, we read that John said, those who receive Jesus have the right to become God's children. Now, in 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2, you know, here he declares that we're now the children of God. Not that we will become, but now we are. So it says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Behold, what manner of love. You know, consider the greatness, the manner, the extent of God's love for us. In that he calls us his children. He doesn't call us his friends. He doesn't call us his servants. He doesn't call us his slaves. He calls us his children. We are his sons. And as we said last time, there's no gender in God, so as women, we're still sons. You know, there's he calls us his sons, his children. And the world does not know us because it does not know our Father, who is God. They don't know him, so they don't know us. What did we read in the gospel? Jesus came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. Those who should have received him, those who should have welcomed him, they didn't recognize him, they didn't know him, they didn't receive him. But those of us that did receive him, we are now declared to be his children. It's great now. That's what he goes on here in verse 2. He says, it's great now, he says, but the best is yet to come. You know, we mustn't let the revelation of our sonship, you know, cast a cloud over what's going to come later on. Because he says, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. You know, every son, I would expect, sort of would try and be like the father, or his or her father. Every child would like to be like their father. You know, we are going to be like our father. We might not be, because we might still have areas in our life that need to be dealt with. We might think, well, I'm far from it, but we shall be like him. You know, we are his children now. And our text in Romans, which we're going to go on and see in the next few weeks, it goes on to say in verses 18 and 19, it says that, you know, what we have now isn't to be compared with what we shall have. You know, the present sufferings aren't to be compared with the future glory. You know, what we're going through now cannot be compared with what's going to come. Then it goes on to say that the whole of creation is eagerly waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, creation itself with anticipation is waiting for the sons of God to rise up and make their stand, take their place. You know, we are the sons of God. We are the children. And we have that assurance from the Holy Spirit. You know, he witnesses in our spirit that we are his children. So, just to finish with tonight, let's just get the revelation of that tonight. Look, we are his, God's children. We've got new DNA. We've got a new family, a new inheritance. Everything is made new. We have been born again. Or, to put it in the word that we've been using over the last couple of weeks, is we've been adopted into the family. You know, we are. Now we are the children of God. Amen.